title of the message today is Practicing the Presence of God. Practicing the Presence of God. You know, by definition, practicing the presence of God is a spiritual discipline where we intentionally cultivate an awareness of God's presence in our daily lives. Not just on Sunday, but every day we practice being aware and moving in the presence of God. Is that something good that we should talk about today? Well, that was about half of it. Come on, this is God's presence, amen? Woo, we need to get excited about it, amen. If there's any presence you want to be a part of, it's God's presence, His Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, now it's getting better. Now it's getting better. Woo! We all want more of God's presence, don't we? More of God's presence in our lives. But oftentimes, it can be just a Sunday thing, and then, sadly, something changes on Monday, where we go back into the world, we go back into our homes, we go back into work, and then it's like, where was that? That was such a, we had such an awesome time. I got so encouraged, and I felt God's presence, and I really believe that God turns up the volume of His presence where two or three are gathered in His name. His Holy Spirit is it's different, because He wants us to be together as His family. But then when we get to Monday, where is His presence? And then we go into the routine, and we go into the temptations and the things of the world, the distractions, and then where did I go? We get distracted, we get tempted, we get busy, and then Sunday comes again. So I've got some practical things I want to talk about that we can do to make it more than just Sunday. Amen? Amen. So the first one is we practice the presence of God by, number one, acknowledging His omnipresence. Acknowledging His omnipresence. That means that God is everywhere at once. It is one of His characteristics. It's one of His qualities that God is God and He is everywhere at once. You say, well, how is that possible? Well, God is spirit. He's not confined to a physical body like we are, and He's everywhere. A great way to think about it is the breath, the air that we breathe is all over the world, right? We're all breathing the same air. It's one and it's everywhere at once. But God's much bigger than that. He's much bigger than our atmosphere. But He's also, by His Spirit, He is everywhere at once. Do you remember when Adam and Eve sinned and they ran and they hid from God? It's kind of like a toddler, you know, putting their hands over their eyes because they think that their parents, you know, can't see them. Since I can't see my parents and my hands are covered over my eyes, then they must not be able to see me. They haven't like quite figured that one out yet. It's kind of like that, I think, with Adam and Eve. They were hiding. They had sinned. They were hiding from God, but not really. Not really. Genesis 3, 8 through 10 says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Some think that that's probably when the sun was setting in the cool breeze. The word wind is in there in that cool of the day. The Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. You guys want to hear a funny story about this passage? Okay. So a pastor went out on a Sunday to visit his church members. At one house, it was obvious that someone was home, but nobody came to the door, and the preacher knocked several times. Finally, the preacher took out his church business card and wrote out Revelation 3:20 on the back of it and stuck it on the door. And Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. So he wrote that on the card. The next day, the card turned up in the collection plate, his card. And below the preacher's message was written the following notation. I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Do Genesis 3:10. I just love that. I just love that. David said in Psalm 139, verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me." God is everywhere, and we need to be aware of that. How many times I think we are unaware that he is with us. Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He is with us. He is with us. And we need to be aware that he is omnipresent. He is everywhere at once. Amen? Amen. The second one is, in practicing the presence of God, to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer and the Word. To cultivate a lifestyle of prayer and the Word. The Bible says to pray without ceasing, to continually pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In the Bible, it says that Enoch had this kind of continual prayer walk with God. So it wasn't just Sundays, it was a continual prayer walk with God. Genesis 5:24, Enoch lived. He walked in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. I think he had such a close relationship with God, and God so enjoyed that that he said, "Enoch, you know what? Come here. Come here, man. Disappear." Psh. Star Trek. Beamed up. Done. You're done. I want you to be with me because I really enjoy hanging out with you. And like Abraham was called the friend of God. That's awesome to have that kind of fellowship and relationship with God. He prayed and he walked. And it says that he walked in close fellowship with God. To me, that means that you're walking through life with God. It's not just checking in with God on Sundays and when you wake up in the morning, you say a prayer before breakfast, before lunch, before dinner, and then you say one more prayer before you go to bed. And God, I'm just going to keep checking in with you. I'm just going to keep checking in with you, and I'll check in with you big time on Sunday. No, it is a continual prayer and walking with God and being aware of his presence, practicing his presence. God, I thank you. I worship you through everything right now. God, I want to walk with you through this day, being aware and connecting with God through every moment of the day. And so that was what Enoch did. Walking with someone means it's continual. So Catherine Coleman, who is one of those people who walked very much in miracle power in her crusades and her meetings, she said something very interesting about this continual prayer. She said this, when asked about her own prayer life, she replied, "I pray all the time because if I limited the Holy Spirit to a certain number of hours a day, I would be in danger of using him for my own purpose. For instance, I spent 1 hour in prayer. I would expect the Holy Spirit to reward me for that hour. I would begin to feel that in that hour of prayer, it caused the anointing in the meeting. No, I cannot use the Holy Spirit in that way. I must practice his presence all the time." I love that. I love that. And also to immerse yourself in the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That means that the Word is guiding you for the next step. That's the light, that's the lamp before your feet. And then it is also about the future path, the light for your path. So as you're walking and you're praying, you have the Word as a lamp, your immediate next step and future path before you. And God will speak to you through his Word throughout the day. And your faith will increase because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so cultivate a lifestyle of prayer and the word. The third one is to practice his presence by not walking in the flesh. By not walking in the flesh. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the spirit. And you guys, did you catch that? Walk. Walk in the spirit. That means with him. Walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Anybody attest to that? I do every day. Every day. We have that struggle every day. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And then verse 19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have told you before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit, this is where the hallelujah comes, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Let's read these out loud together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Amen. We were just talking about this whole thing on Thursday at our men's Bible study on Thursday morning at Missions Coffee. The whole idea of being the same person that you are at church as you are at home and at work. And that is very tied into the word integrity. We come and get filled with the Holy Spirit at church, and then we go back into the world with all its temptation and all of its sin. And a person of integrity means that you are the same person here at church as you are anywhere else. Integrity means that you are a whole person. In fact, if you look at the origins of the word integrity, it has the same, it means to be whole, but it has the same root words as where we get integer in mathematics. It's a whole number. It means that you are one person complete and not two people. Not one person at church and one person at home, and your family looks at you and says, Dad, the word is hypocrite. Dad, why are you in the flesh? And at church, you're smiling and yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then you get through the week and you're yelling and you're doing all these things that we just read that are in the flesh. And then your children look at that and they say, that is so fake. And I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. But when your children and the people at work and us as a church, when we see you outside of church and you're the same person, whole person, that you are out there, that you are in here, then we say, amen, praise the Lord. And your children say, man, my dad's for real with the Lord. Man, my mom is for real with the Lord. She prays a lot. And then when she gets to church, she prays a lot. You know, the same person. You guys understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Amen. All right. So, and I realize that it's not easy because we're dealing with our flesh. And our flesh has desires, all kinds of desires. And it is literally a war within us. And it's a war that we have to win every day. Every day, we must take our sinful nature to the cross and nail it there every day. Amen? Amen. Can we go back to that verse 24? Those, oh, actually, we didn't even read this verse. That's why. Let's look at this. The next verse after the one we finished about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. If we live in the Spirit, let us also, what? Walk in the Spirit. So, what do you got to do with your sinful nature every day? You got to nail it to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ every day. I have to do it. You've got to do it. And you may have to say to your spouse, hey, would you just take that flesh and nail it to the cross? Because, man, you are, I don't know where you are, but you are not walking in the Holy Spirit. Most of the time, we just need to pray, right? When it comes to our spouse. Because God is the one that can change things. Amen? Amen. So practice his presence by not walking in the flesh. The fourth one is to practice the presence of God by practicing being thankful to God throughout the day. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, I believe we would see more miracles or be aware of the miracles that are happening around us if we are a more thankful people. Miracles are happening all the time. But a grumpy person, an unthankful person, can't see them because all they can think about is the bad things that are going on around them. Oh, it's just so horrible. And meanwhile, God is like holding the world together for you. And you have your next breath. And you can eat. And you have shelter. And you're complaining, and God's working miracles behind the scenes. And I tell you what, he would want to work more miracles if you'd be thankful. And I'd be thankful. Amen? We have things in this fallen world that fall apart all the time. You know, the car, the house. And we just got to trust God and be thankful. God, I just thank you. This thing just failed. And Lord, I just thank you that you're going to provide a way. You said, don't worry about this, so I'm not going to worry, and I'm just going to be thankful. I'm going to thank you in advance. God, you're going to do something, and I can't wait to see it. Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. This just collapsed. This just broke. And, oh, God, I just thank you that you're going to come through. We had that happen just a few weeks ago. This is before everybody lost their power. We lost our power first. We knew moving into it, we moved into a new home 3 or 4 months ago. Many of you know that and have helped us clearing pine needles and stuff like that. But, and more than that, some of you, I'm just totally blessed. But that we knew going into it with the inspection that the electric panel was ancient. And we knew it was going to have to be replaced. We just didn't know it was going to have to be replaced this quick. And then one day, boom, the whole thing went out. And, you know, it's kind of cold up there in Colfax. And so, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're trying to figure it out. We're praying. And then my wife said, why didn't you call? We had this home warranty that our realtor bought for us, which is wonderful. And my wife said, why don't you call them? And I said, I don't know. I don't even know if that's going to be covered. And so I said, why not? I'll give them a call. So I gave them a call, and they go, yeah. Initially it was, yeah, we can start moving this through. I was like, oh, wow, okay. And then a few days later, you know, through the process, they said, no, this is not going to work because of such and such. This is going to be denied. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. So it was a done deal, denied. The claim was denied, and we paid the $80 for the service call and everything like that. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to call them just one more time and see if I can get the $80 refunded, you know, because they didn't do anything. And we had an electrician come out because they didn't have a network. electrician. So we were doing the work, free estimate and all that. So I called them. I said, hey, is there any chance we could get a refund? And then they put me on hold like a few times. And the guy, I got somebody totally different. And the guy said, okay, I need to talk to your electrician. And I'm like, okay. And then he came back on. Oh, I need to talk to my supervisor. Okay, great. Then he came back on and he said, well, everything looks good and we're going to put this through. And I'm like, I was standing at my parents' house in the backyard because I was pacing the backyard and I was, because we had moved there, back there because it was freezing. And my mouth is just, I said, okay, all right, well, okay, thanks. You know, like what happened? It went from totally denied to a miracle of them putting in a brand new panel. They gave us a reimbursement check that covered a big majority of the entire thing. Brand new panel, 200 amp service, up to code, inspected, surge protector, and everything. And that's our God. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the way God works. And so, Lord, what's the next miracle that's going to happen? I just give you thanks in advance that you've got everything in your hands and you are a God of the universe. And I don't have to worry. I give you praise. And some of you have things right now that you don't have the answer to. And I'm going to tell you something. Give it to God. Give him thanks. Thank him in advance. And he's going to come through with a miracle. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, my pastor in my 20s, I went to a home church for about 8 years, and he discipled me before I ever went to Bible college, before it was very much one-on-one, someone who walked very much in the presence of the Lord. And he would tell me, because something would break, you know, in my early 20s, something would break, or car, something, you know, things would happen, because it does, and I would get so discouraged. I would get so down. And he knew that. He saw that. He watched that. And he said, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And he said, I want you to think about something that's happening with what is breaking and what is breaking down. He said, it just means that God's going to bring you something new. And it took me a while to get that. Because we get bummed out. We get discouraged. Man. And we're getting discouraged about something that God's got the blessing right here waiting to bring it to us. And it's going to be brand new. It's going to be good. But we get all discouraged. We get all wrapped up in that old thing, trying to hold on to the old thing. I love that Zinsco 100 amp panel that was 50 years old. I didn't want to let that go. Yeah, right. They're like, that thing is a fire hazard, man. Why are you trying to hold on to that? God says, I got something new for you. And God has something new for you if something goes wrong or breaks down. Amen? Amen. So it's a good perspective to have, to give God thanks in everything. And then the fifth one, the last one, is practicing the presence of God. Engage in worship and praise. Throughout the day, engage in worship and praise. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. You know, whenever there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it is always preceded by worship and praise. The church gathering or the people of God gathering, like in Solomon's day, David's day, they gathered, they worshiped the Lord, they made the sacrifices, they worshiped God, and the presence of God fell. And then we see in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, the church gathered together. They worshiped God. They prayed. They praised God, and the Holy Spirit fell in that place. Worship always comes before that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that can happen throughout your day. God, I worship you. God, I praise you, and I thank you for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my work, in my job place. Worship ushers in the presence of God wherever you go. Worship and praise invites the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom, rule, and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you worship him, he sets up his kingdom in your home, in your work, here at church. You worship and praise him, and he becomes king of that place. So listen to this. Worship is important because, number one, it establishes God as the Lord of your heart. Number two, it keeps you in a place of humility. Worship, number three, brings you to a place of surrender. Number four, it dethrones other gods, the enemy, addictions, idols, and anything else competing for God. That's what worship does. Worship ushers in God's presence. Number six, it invites God's rulership and kingdom. Number seven, it creates an atmosphere for evangelism. You know, the church needs to reach people, but it can't reach people without first worshiping God and ushering in his presence. And so if you ever go out to do some kind of evangelistic thing or the tent city outreach, whatever it is, worship God, worship and pray and praise God before you go out. And before a worship service, before your Bible studies, whatever it is, worship God and usher in his presence, and then people will get saved. People will get saved. Amen. Number eight, you're becoming like the God you worship. You're becoming more like him when you worship God. His qualities, his character, his nature, you're becoming more like him, the goodness of God, when you worship him. Number nine, it brings you closer with other believers. Isn't that true? When you've been worshiping and when you've been prayed up, you come into the house of God and man, I say, hey, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's easy to fellowship when you've been worshiping God and you're with like believers. Amen? Amen. Amen. And if you see somebody come into church with a grumpy face, you just say, hey, have you been worshiping the Lord? No, just kidding. Number nine, it brings you closer with believers. And number 10, it is where God interacts with you. So worship and praise God throughout the day. Okay, we're going to recap these. Can we say them out loud together? These are the five things. There's probably more. There's more than this, but these are five big ones, okay? Practicing the presence of God. Number one, let's say these out loud together. We start by acknowledging the omnipresence of God. Number two, we cultivate a lifestyle of prayer and the word. Number three, we practice his presence not by walking in the flesh. Amen. Amen. Number four, we practice being thankful to God throughout the day. And number five, we engage in worship and praise.